Okay, so today's daf is daf Yud Ches. So we were in the middle of a discussion. The Gemara at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis said that only Misha Mutal Fanav is subject to the lachas of Aninus and not keeping mitzvahs and brachas. But if a person wasn't Mutal Fanav, if the mace was not in front of a person, so then he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs. So then the Gemara brought this long brisa about an individual who is not chayiv in mitzvahs, he doesn't say brachas. So let's just take him on the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph in the middle of this brisa. So the Gemara says, such a person who has a relative who died, ein mevarcha lav, you don't say bracha for him, ve mezamna lav, you don't have a zimun with him, who patim kriyashma minatvila, minatvilim, who mikol mitzvah mevarcha the Torah, he patim all the mitzvahs in the Torah, such an onen, who bishabis meisiv veochel, bas veshos yain, on Shabbos there are no halachas on aninus, he eats meat, he drinks wine, ומברך ומזמין ומברך עליו ומזמין עליו וחי בכל מצוות המורש בתורה he's חי in all the mitzvot and comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer מתוך שנשחי באלו נשחי בכולם so Rashbag says from the fact that he's חי in these he's חי in all of them so what's Rashbag coming to add on that the Tanakhama didn't say with respect to Shabbos this is just a side point for now Amar Rabbi Yochanan my benai what's an afkamina between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakhama Tashmi Shemita, Ikabana, that's an Afkamina. So which is which? That according to the Tanakhama, Tashmi Shemita is the din is its mutter, and according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tashmi Shemita is also on Shabbos when a person is in a state of aninus. So the question, how do we know? Reading the language of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, there is no indication of who's machmir who's not. So in the back of the Gemara, we have this one of the Perushim, the Re'im Haritz, the Vazame Haritz. He explains that there's a klal we have throughout Shas that the second opinion is always more machmir. So therefore, since Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is the later opinion, he's the one who's machmir. Either way, what comes out from this brisa is that katani mias pater mikriashma umiatvila umiatvilin umikol mitzvahs hamura b'Torah. Onen is pater all mitzvahs, and the din is. Rashi says in the top three lines down, Rashi says, Mias pater mikriashma mikol brachos. Zafilu kishu ochel bibayis chavera. So while our Mishnah said the only time you're patur from brachos and all the mitzvahs is only when the mace is mamish in front of you. But if you're in another house, a different house from the mace, even though it's a relative, the din is your chayv mitzvahs. But this brisa says, no matter where you are, even if you're a different location, if it's a relative that passed away, you have a din of aninus and you're patur regardless of where you are. So that's the question. What's the din of a person if you're in front of the mace, then you're certainly patur. If you're not in front of the mace, you're nebayis acher, are you still pater, like this brisa indicates, or are you chayiv if you're not in front of the brisa, in front of the mace rather? So the Gemara suggests two answers. Amar Papa, Papa says, Targma, the explanation is, amachter panav v'ochel. What's that referring to? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Targma, lehad detani pater, that's what we say you're pater, even if you're not in the presence of the mace, amish she'en lo bayis acher, dekamar machter panav v'ochel. It's when he has no house. When the guy's in the house and there's no mechitza, there's no nothing, he just has to turn around. So that's where you say, since you're in front of the mace, so that's when you're positive. But ain't a chanamin, if you were to be in another house, then you would be chayv mitzvahs like indicated from the Mishnah. So therefore, everything's consistent. In front of the mace, you're positive. When you're not in front of the mace, you're chayv. Comes along with Ashi. With Ashi, Amar, no. Kevan shemuta lefanava, muta lava, lekovro, kemutal lefanava, dami. He says the opposite. The person is always pater, even if you're not in front of the mace. Complete opposite. When our Mishnah said you're only pater when the mace is mamash muta lefanava, it didn't mean literally, it means figuratively. Whenever a person has an obligation to care for a mace, even if he's not in the presence of the mace, that has the din of kemi shemuta lefanava dami, and such a person is owning and pater in all mitzvahs, regardless of where he is, which is clearly what this brisa says in the Gemara. And how do we know such a concept that Misha Muta Alfanav, it's Kimisha Muta Alfanav Dami? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayakam Avram Me'apnei Meso, and Avram got up from in front of the mace, and in Emar it says further, Ve'ekbura Mesi Mufanai, let me bury the mace, mace from before me, and even though at that moment the mace wasn't mamish in front of him, it was ki'ilu, it was lefanav. She'koz man she'muta alav lekovro, so long as the obligation is upon a person to bury the mace, it's considered halachically kumuta lefanav dami, as if it's mamish in front of the individual, which means he'd be pater in the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs. Okay. Gemara is now medayik. Meso in, ala meshamer lo. The whole halacha of anidus is only when it's one's mace. Mace, so his mace, a relative of Reuven, let's say. But if a person is just shomer the mace, even though it's not his relative, the implication is a shomer is chayiv in mitzvahs. Only a relative has a din of anidus and his pater. But the hatanya, doesn't Baisa say, ha meshamer it's a mace, afa pish eno meso pater, mikriyashma, umriyatrila, umriyatrilon, umikomisus amusra Torah? So doesn't the Baisa clearly say one who shomer the mace is pater from all the mitzvahs? So Gemara concludes, you're right. Mishamro afa pishenu meso, and meso afa pishenu mishamro. There are really two dinim. A person has his relative who passed away, it's his mace, he's pater from mitzvahs midin aninus. A shomer is pater from mitzvahs as well, but not midin aninus, rather because of loeg l'rush, as we'll see shortly, as Rick was saying from the mentioned yesterday in the Gemara. Loeg l'rush is why a person is pater even though it's not his mace. So either mace is pater because of aninus, or shomer, or the like, is pater because of loeg l'rush. So Gemara now says, umishamro in. So this is only true if a person is a shomer the mace. There's certain responsibility. About mahalich v'beis kakraus lo. But let's say a guy's walking in the beis kakraus. He's not a shomer. He's, you know, there's a shomer watching the mace, and he's following the levaya, or perhaps he's not even a levaya. He's just walking through the beis kakraus. He's visiting a parent of his. So, with such a person is lo yahalich adam ba'atani, it doesn't advise to say, that lo yahalich adam beit akvaros. A person should not walk in the cemetery with tefillin barosho, wearing tefillin on his head, the sefer Torah bezor, and carrying the sefer Torah, with karei, and he shouldn't learn in the beit akvaros. Then osei kein, if a person does this, he's over mishuma loeg l'rush, the pasuk says. Pasuk says, loeg l'rush, cheif, osei, that you're making fun of the poor. Rash means the empty, a poor person who he can't do mitzvah than you can. So not only a shomer, but even walking in the base of cross is a violation of loeg l'rush. And the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Halsam toch arba amos, who's the osei? A person's walking in the base of cross, it's only usher to perform mitzvahs and shema and tefillah and so on if you're in the radius, a dal amos radius of the mace. But chutzah arba amos, a person's outside of dal amos, then he's chayiv in mitzvahs and he must perform the mitzvahs. Damar mar, mace, toves dal amos l'kriyashma. A mace has acquired the four amos around him in radius. That person may not recite shema because it's going to be loeg l'rush to him. But hacha, here our case, is a chutzah dal amos. When you're outside of dal amos, Nami Pater, so when it comes to a Mishomer, if a Shomer is even outside Dal Amos and he's watching over the mace, even then he's a Pater from Mitzvah. So again, we have really three levels here. Level one is a Onein, a person is a relative. He's Pater no matter where. A Shomer is also Pater. It could be an extension of his responsibility for the mace. And then there's a third level of a person just walking near a mace. It's Pater within Dal Amos because of the Log of the Rush. Outside Dal Amos, he's Chayiv in the performance of the mitzvahs.
That's halacha.
That's halacha, yeah. So there's a discussion whether or not a person is allowed to learn divrei Torah in a base kraus. The Bach holds that the issur of learning Torah in the cemetery is only true if you're within dal amos of base kraus. So let's say they have little paths in the streets in the cemeteries. You're not dal amos to the kever, but you're in a cemetery, you're in the fences of the cemetery. The Bach says you're allowed to, as long as you're not dal amos to a mace. Even though you're in a base kraus, you're allowed to learn. The Magaram says the opposite. He says not true. Anywhere in the cemetery, even if you're in an area that's empty, but if it's in the fences of the cemetery, it's also to learn Torah anywhere. And the Mishabura has a pshar. He says no. If you're in the middle of the cemetery, even though you're not dal amos from a particular kever, but you're in the middle of the cemetery, you're be'emsa, that's usher. But let's say you're on the outskirts of the cemetery, meaning you're within a fence, but you're on the edges of the cemetery near the end, and there's no kvarim by you, that would be allowed according to the Mishnah Berurah. So you have three different positions about learning in the Beis HaKvaros. We saw a discussion whether or not you're allowed to learn in the presence of a mace if it's l'chavo the mace. You want to share a Dvar Torah that you once heard from the mace, or something that shows covered about the midos of the mace. Is that type of limud Torah permitted or not? And Tosfos felt that he said that if it's something related to the cover of the mace, one would be allowed to learn in the presence of a mace, while the Rush argued and says, no, any type of limud Torah would be violation of loeg l'rush, and you shouldn't learn anything, even if it is related to the particular mace.
Is this before the quarter or during the quarter? Or after
the Even after. If you're near a kever, you can't learn. Right. There's an interesting question. So they asked the question as follows. So how come the halacha says here, if a person, the meisis tofes arba amos, the Gemara says, it's asr in kriyashma, so why dafka kriyashma? It's asr in learning anything next to a meis. Why does it say dafka meis tofes arba amos with respect to kriyashma? So the Nitziv explains as follows. When we say it's asr to learn Torah in the presence of a kever, of a meis, it's only asr to teach Torah. But if you want to learn on your own, you want to bring a Gemara and learn quietly to yourself, you're actually allowed to learn in the presence of the Dal Amos. Don't share Dvar Torah with the guy next to you, but keep it to yourself. So you're allowed to learn Torah on your own next to Dal Amos, but Shema, you cannot even say on your own. That's a limud Torah that would be asr. But outside of the Kriyat Shema, then it's to conclude, you are allowed to learn next to it as long as it's quiet and you keep it to yourself. Okay. Gemara now says Vayter. We're the last narrow line of the page here, and I'm out still. Gufa. Ha-Meshamer is a mace, Avapish Eino Mesa, Pater. A person who's watching over, he's a shomer of a mace, even though it's not his relative. He's Pater Mikriashma, Uminatfila, Uminatfilin, Umikol, Mitzvot HaMorith, Torah from all mitzvot. Hayushnaim, let's say there are two people who are watching over, the two people available to be a shomer. So the lacha is, you should have Zem Meshamer, Vizakari, you should take turns. While Reuven is watching, so Shimon should go say Shema and Davin. And then you should switch it around, Vizem Meshamer, Vizakari. Benazi Omer, Benazi says, are you born the Svina? So let's say you're traveling in a boat with a mace. And so the din is, Manicha Bizavazu, Mitzpalin Shneim Bizavaz Acheres. There's not so much a concern. You're in a boat. What's going to happen in a boat? No one's coming to take the mace. So what you should do is place the mace in a corner, and the two people could daven at the same time, because there's not so much a chashash of what's going to take place, that some animal might come ahead and drag away the mace. So there's much more safety on the boat. In that case, both of you could daven at the same time. Now, it sounds like from the Tanakhama, however, that even in a boat, you can't let both people go. One person always has to be shomer. So why? What's the difference? My benayel asks Gemara, what's an afkamina? I'm Ravina. I mean, it's not really an afkamina. They really want to know what's the nekuda samachlok. Because what are they arguing about? Whether on a boat you could have both shomrim leave the mace alone and go ahead and daven. So what's the machlokas? So I'm Ravina. Ravina says choshishin lachbarin ikabenayim. Whether a concern of mice and rodents on a boat or not, mar saver chashinam. According to the Tanakhama, we even choshesh for achbarim on the boat, and therefore you should always have one person shomer on a boat. And Mar Savar ben Azeh holds, no, lo chashina, there are no rodents on a boat, and therefore it's okay to leave the mace by itself while the two of you daven. And the chah? Huh?
Mice eat meat.
I don't know. Some type of rodent, who knows? So Chachmas Adam has a question about Metzias. Is the question Metzias here? Like, whether, so ask the guy in the sailor, are there mice, are there rodents on your boat, or are there not rodents on your boat? So the Chachmas Adam doesn't believe that's a question in the actual mice and rodents. He thinks it has to do with Tumah. There's some type of Achbarim Shal Tumah and Tumah's mace.
Shemira is not physical.
Yes, so he says it's a spiritual type of Shemira. Exactly. He talks about some type of Tumah on the water and the boat, so I don't know exactly what the Chachmas Adam is talking about. But he's not talking about actual achbarim, because had it been actual achbarim, we could just ask the sailor, the captain, are there mice here, or are there not mice here? That would be the solution. So Gemara now says four wide lines down. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamoach atmos mimakum lemakum. A person is transporting bones from one place to the next place. We have to treat it with the utmost respect. So the din is, ha-reza lo yitnam bedaskia. Don't place it in a daskia, which Rashi says is some type of leather pouch. V'yidnim al-gab echamor, and then place on top of a donkey. You have a pouch of bones on top of a donkey. The yirk of alem, and then ride on it like that. Because mifnei shonag ben minag v'zan. That's a disgraceful way to treat the bones. You have to have a covered amaze. V'im haya mesiyari mifnei nachum. If, however, you're concerned of nachum, perhaps taking them and the mevazin them further, u'mifnei listim and other types of bandits, mutter, then you're allowed to protect the bones. Uchadeach shamu ba'atzamos, just like we said with respect to bones, kach amu b'sefer Torah, so too we have to treat the sefer Torah with respect in transporting it in the proper way. So this last line where we said by the bones, again, the bones should not be transported on a bag of leather on top of a donkey, unless it's protecting from Nachum and Listim. So when we make this equation to the sefer Torah, so we're equating the sefer Torah to the ratio of the sefer, meaning what? Which stage of the brisa of the Atamos are we comparing the Sefer Torah to? If we're saying Ilema Aresha, that you should not place the Sefer Torah in a leather bag and throw it over the Chamor, well, Pita, of course not. You shouldn't be Mevaz of the Sefer Torah. Migar Sefer Torah Me Atamos, would you treat the Sefer Torah any less with less dignity than the bones? Certainly not. So if you shouldn't put the bones on a leather pouch on the chamor, certainly not the Sefer Torah. So you have to transport the Sefer Torah with cover. So when we make the equation of Sefer Torah to that tzamos, it's referring to El Asefa. Meaning, if there's a chashash of list menachim, so just like you could put the bones in your leather pouch to protect from it, so too the Sefer Torah, if there's really concern, you could also transport the Sefer Torah in such a way. So Amar Rachva, Amar Yehuda, Koha Roa HaMeis, Veinim Alavayu, a person sees a mace that's being escorted out to be buried, and you don't join the whole procession, over Mishim Loi L'Rosh Chayiv Oseo. You are now making fun of the poor, the empty, and that's a violation of this pasuk. Vim Halvayu, if you do decide to join the Levaya, Maschar, what is your reward for participating in a Levaya? Amar Rav Asi, Olav HaKasav Omer, about such a person, it says, Mal Vashem Chonin Dao, U'michabe Chonin Edion, that if the person, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is going to Malava you, is going to show you great Chonin, and he's going to mechabed you as well. So a person should, of course, participate in the levaya, especially if he sees it taking place in his in front of him. So Gemara now has a ma'isa of Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yonason rather, Habu Shakli v'azlu b'beit haklaus. They were once traveling in a cemetery. Habu kashte tchelos of Rabbi Yonason. So the tchelos of Rabbi Yonason was dragging on the ground. So Amar Lei Rabbi Chia Dalia, you should lift up the strings, lift up the tchelos. They shouldn't say, tomorrow, that they're going to say, oh, this guy Rabbi Yonason is making fun of us, that he's waving the tzitzit in our face, that he could perform mitzvahs, and we cannot. So before you go weiter for a second, so there's a number of interesting questions here. Number one is that, why is the only concern here of the mevazer making fun of the mace? There's another violation of dragging tzitzit on the ground, even if you're not in the cemetery, on the in the street, in the shul, you shouldn't drag tzitzit. So why is that not of a concern of the Gemara? So the Magen Avraham says, one answer is, because the base, as far as their tombstones were above the ground. So they're dragging on top of the tombstone, they were not mamash on the ground, they're on top of the kever, so it wasn't dragging, but it still was a violation of Loig the Rush. The Be'er Hatem says there's a difference between a talis gadol and a talis katan. A talis katan, where we wear all the time, that's not a problem if it drags on the ground. Now that'd be a very long talis katan, but that's not a violation because if we wear that, we wear it in the bathroom, we wear it wherever we go. So there's no bizarre of a talis katan. The only violation of dragging tzitzis is by a talis gadol, which is reserved for davening, it's covered a tefillah, only that type of talis would be subject to violation of dragging on the ground. So now, another interesting question is, Rabbi Yonason apparently was a Kohen. So if Yonason was a Kohen, what was he doing here in the Beis HaKaros? So the Mitzvah Eitan says, there are three Rabbi Yonasons we find throughout Shas, so not all of them were Kohanim, so this one in our Gemara was not a Kohen. Okay, the Gemara now says further. So clearly, so what was happening, that he says, don't drag the tzitzis because you're making fun of them. So asks the Gemara, Amar Lei, or rather Rabbi Yonason says back to Rabbi Chia, are the people who are mace, are they aware what's going on above ground, that they're going to make fun and say, oh, this guy was making fun of us and now he's going to come join us in the cemetery the next day? The Haksib, doesn't the Pasuk say, those are mace, don't know anything, they're dead, the neshama left the body and they're just a skin and bones, so they don't know what's going on. Clearly the Pasuk says it's in Koheles. Amar Lei, Rabbi Chia says no. In Karitha, if you learned Pasuk, Lo Shanisa, you didn't review it. Em Shanisa, if you reviewed it, Lo Shilasha, you didn't review it another time. Em Shilasha, if you reviewed it three times, Lo Pirishilo, Lo Chanon, explain to you what's Pshat here. Because it says, what does it mean, Ki Echaim Yodim Shiyamusu, that those who are alive are aware that they're dead. Elu Tadikim Shabimisasa Nikuchaim, that a Tadik, when he's dead, is still considered alive. There's some Chayas to a person, a tzaddik, when he's dead. Shenemar says in Shmuel Beis, Ubinayahu ben Yehoyada ben Ishchai, he was the son of the Ishchai, even though Ishchai, Rav Palim, Mikapsa, was dead, he was still considered the child of a live person. Hu hika es shnei Ariel Moab, he killed the two people of Ariel, the son of Moab, Hu yard vihike went down, vihika sa Ari, killed a lion, b'sel chabur, v'yom hashalak, and he killed a lion in a pit on the day of the snow. So what's going on here? So ben Ishchai, Atukuyama b'nei meisin inu. So they're the son of a live person. Mean everyone else is a son of a dead person? No. So what do you mean ben Ishchai? Ela ben Ishchai afil b'misasa karichai. Even when his father dies, even though Yehoyada's father may have died, he's always called the ben Ishchai. He's always alive because the tzaddik is chai even when he's dead. So yes, there's a certain awareness that tzaddik has when he's dead.
not all the Benz of Sadiqim.
No, right, when is the Tzaddik though?
Marsha, yeah. He was the Rosh of the Sanhedrin.
Ah. So then Rab Paulim and the Kapsoil, Shariba, the Kibet Paulim, the Torah. Why was he called Rab Paulim the Kapsoil? Because he was Riba, he was Marbit Torah, he was Maccabi's people to learn Torah. He killed the two Ariel of Moab. What does that mean? Shlohinia Kamoso, there's no Tzaddik like him, Lobamikdash, Risham, Lobamikdash Sheni. There's no Tzaddik like him in the Shnei Ariel. Ariel is always a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So in the two Ariel, in the two Batei Mikdash, he was known as righteous as he was. And it says further in the pasuk, it said, "Vehu yarad v'ikas ari," he went down and killed the lion b'soch habor v'yom hashelag. What does this mean? Ikadami, some say the tavar he broke gezize de bard, he broke the ice of the bard. This week's parsha, right? Of the hail unachas v'tavar, he went to do to tefila. He was makbid and going to the mikvah before learning, even when the lake was iced over. Ikadami, others say no. The tani sifra de beirav, he learned the entire sifra of Rav, the entire medrash. From Rav, the Yom HaDesitva, on just one day in the winter, it took him just one day to go through all of the Midrashim of Torah Sekhanim. Okay, either way, he's a great person.
So there's a chiluk here.
There's 2 days of what he had done, correct?
No. In regards to Lo'eg La'Rash, meaning in front of a tzaddik, you cannot do like a mitzvah, and in front of another tzaddik,
you can't do a mitzvah from anyone. The question is whether a person's aware of what's going on or not. That's a shaila. But even if a person is a Rasha, we still don't do a Lo'eg La'Rash. Even though you're right, it sounds like only a Tzaddik might not know what's going on. First of all, we are no one to judge who's a Tzaddik, who's not a Tzaddik. And therefore, we should never do mitzvahs in front of any mace. So then the Gemara says, "Amesim Eidim Yodim Mu'uma." So those, when the Pasuk says the Mesim don't know anything, Eidim Rishayim Shebechayim Kru Mesim. These are Rishayim that even when they're alive, they're called dead. They're walking around dead because they're not performing mitzvahs, and the Rishayim, Shenemar, it says, V'ata Chala Rasha Nisi Yisrael. So that you are Rasha, and a Chala is a corpse, a dead person. So we see that a Rasha is called a Chala, he's called a Mes, even when he's alive. Ibai same alternatively, that how do we know that Mesim are called alive? Mehacha says the Pasuk, Apishnaim Edim, O Shlosha Edim, Yumas Hames. So two Edim are going to testify on the Mes. So we're testifying that Reuven, let's say, killed Shimon. So we're saying we're going to kill the mace. But Chayu, he's not dead yet. Reuven isn't dead yet. We're going to kill Reuven. You can't be Yumas HaMace. You can't kill the dead. Ela we see HaMace Meikara. A person's a Rasha. He's already called a mace right now, even when he's alive. Okay, the Gemara now goes through a very interesting mice in this rest of the page here. They got it as follows. B'nei Rabbi Chiya Nafak L'Churiyah. So one time, the children of Rabbi Chiya were going out to the fields, the villages, ayaka luhu tamudayu, and they forgot their learning, they forgot their Torah. Havakamatari liadkure, they were having a hard time remembering the learning. So Amr Lechad, one of them said Lechare to his brother, Yada Avun Bahai Tara, do you think our father knows about our great pain that we're going through? Amr Leidach, he responded back, Munayada, so how do you know? Like it was more of a rhetorical question. Our father knows how much pain we're going through. So how do you know that our father knows? He wants to know. V'aksev, doesn't say yichidu vanav lo yeda, that the honor of the pain is not known to the mace. That meaning the dead don't know what's going on by their children. So Amr Leidach, he responded back, lo yada, he doesn't know. You think our father doesn't know our pain? V'aksev, doesn't the pasuk say ach b'sara alav yichav, the flesh of the mace is painful, v'nafsha alav tevel, and then the nefesh mourns over it. Meaning what? V'amr Reb Yitzchak, Kasha Rima Lemes, that the pain of a worm entering into the body of a dead body is Kemachat Bibasachai, as feels like a needle puncturing a live flesh. So we see that clearly that there is pain felt by the mace. Even though the neshama has left, there's some pain that's experienced by the mace. So they are aware of pains even after death. And the Gemara distinguishes between Amrei Betara Didu Yadim, Betara Deachmini Lo Yadim. A mace knows their own pain. When a worm enters the body, they feel that pain, but they don't sense the pain of others. And the Gemara says, "Below, they don't. They're not really aware what's going on. The mace doesn't know what goes on amongst the chayim." So Atana, the Brisa says, "Now this is a really interesting mace. Mace b'chasid echad shenasan dinar la'ani be'er v'ashashana b'shnei betzores." One time, a nice chassid, he had there wasn't much money. It was a big famine, and he wanted to give an ani some money, some tzedakah on Erev Rosh Hashanah, a very nice thing. The problem was they didn't have much money on his own. So his wife went, got very upset at him. The knitaso, the isha, his wife got very angry and kicked him out of the house. So the chassid slept in the beis kvaros on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Shama Shtei Ruchos, and while this chassid was there, he heard two spirits talking to each other. Shemisapra Zorozo, they were having a conversation in the cemetery. So Amri Chado V'Chaverte, one said to the other, Chaverte, Boi V'Nashid Ba'olam, let's go explore the world. V'Nishma Me'achori HaPargo, let's hear behind the Pargo, the Mechitza of the Shechina, Ma Pranos Ba'olam, this is the Ler Rosh Hashanah, let's go find out what type of troubles are going to plague the world this coming year. So Amri Leil Chaverte, so she says back, Ein yichola, I can't go, I'm stuck. Shani kavura b'machatel shakarim, I was buried, covered with a mat of reeds. I'm stuck here. El lichiat, you go by yourself. Umashat shamas, amrili, whatever you hear, let me know. So halcha he, so she went. B'shata urban, she traveled the world and she heard behind the pargod. Amrili chaverta, she reported back to her friend who was stuck in the kever. Chavarti, my dear friend, mashat shamata me'achorei pargod. Amrili, so what do you hear? Amila, Shemate heard Shekoa Zareb Revia Rishon, those who plant their seed in the first rain of the season, borrowed Malka also. Hail's going to come, it's going to destroy that produce. So Halachu, now this chassid who was listening to this conversation, he just found out some secrets in the agriculture. So he went that year, Vizar Revia Shinir, he waited until the second rain of the season to plant. So what happened was, Shakolam Kulok Laka, the rest of the world's produce was destroyed. Shalo Lalaka, his wasn't. So he was the only guy with money in town, with grains in town, so he made a big profit. The Shana Acher is the next year. Halach, he said, this is a great Eitzah, let me come back the next year, do the same thing. So I don't know if this time his wife kicked him out of the house, or he on his own, he says, honey, I'll be back tomorrow morning. So he goes to sleep in the Beis Kvaros that next year in Rosh Hashanah, and Lom the Beis HaKvaros, Vishama Osan Shtei Ruchos, Shemisapros, Zomzu, the same two spirits were speaking to each other. Amri Chade Lechavet, one says to her friend, Boi V'Nashe Ba'olam V'Nishma Me'achor Yapargan Ma Puranas Ba'ot Liom. Let's go explore the world together and find out which plagues are coming to the world this year. Amri, she says, that again, I can't, Chaverti, Lo Kach Amarti La'alach, didn't I tell you last year, you know, you forgot things, what are you, dead or something? Ein Yechola, I can't. Shani Kfur B'Lechatel Shekarim, I'm stuck here in a mat of reeds. Lichiat, you go. U'mashat Shemaat, Boi V'Amri, whatever you hear, you can report back to me. So Halacha Vashat Tabar, she went and she came back. Amri Lei Chaverta, Chaverti, Ma Shemaat Me'echarei B'Pargat, what did you hear? So Amri Lei, she said to him, Shemaati Shekoa Zareya B'Revi Yashinir, this year, whoever plants during the second rainfall of the season, she dafona Malkoson, there's going to be some type of plague and it's going to ruin the produce. Halacha Vizar B'Revi Yashinir, so this chassid this year, he planted during the first rainfall of the season. And what happened was that year, Shekoa Olam Kulo Nishtaf, the entire world had their produce ruined. V'shalolo nishaf, and this chassid didn't have his produce ruined. So Amrlo Isha, his wife said, something strange going on here. Mitnei ma ishak in hakam last year, shakolom kulo laka, shakolo laka. Last year, everyone's produce was ruined except for yours. And Akshav this year, the same thing. Shekol olam kulo nishaf, everyone's produce was ruined. V'shel chalol nishaf, what's going on here? How are you figuring out the secrets of the seasons, of the rainfall? Tathachla called Ram Halalu. So he was cornered, and he spilled the beans, and he told her what he had done, what happened, and they basically about. So Amri, lo ayuma yamim watim, there weren't many days that passed. Achinafa Ktata Ben Isho shall also chasid, Ubein Ima shall also riva. So this lady, the chasid's wife, was clearly a very outspoken lady. So she got in a fight this time with a neighbor of hers, who happened to be the mother of the spirit who was in the Beis Kvaros. So what did this wife say? Now the wife of the chasid knew all the secrets in that Beis Kvaros now. So while they're busy fighting with this, her neighbor, the mother of this, the daughter who died, who was in that Beis Kvaros, Amila, so the wife says, Lechi Verach, I'll show you a bitcha. Go look at your daughter in the kever. She kfur b'machatzel shakarim. You wrapped her in a mat of reeds. That was part of the insult. So the shana acheres halach v'lan b'beis kvaros. Okay. The next year, the chassid says, let me try my luck. And he went the third year to the beis kvaros, Le'er Rosh Hashanah, to find out what's going on. V'shama olsan ruchos shemesapres v'omzu. And again, the two spirits start speaking to each other. Amila, and one says to the next, Chaverti, Boi v'nashe ba'olam v'nishma me'achor e'parga, let's do this a third year. Ma pranos ba'liolam. Amila, so she said back this time, Chaverti, hanichenu, leave me alone. Dvarim b'ni levencha kvash nishmu b'nachayim. Whatever we discussed already, we found out amongst the live. So So we see from here, Alma, Yadayd, they do know, they are aware of what goes on in this world. So we are this whole long Maisa to show, initially it said, the Nesim don't know what's going on in this world. Now this Maisa clearly shows that they are aware of what went on. And the Gemara responds, Dilma, Inish, Achrina, Shachiv, Vazi, Amrilu. Maybe another person, the body came and was buried. Maybe they don't know what's going on, but let's say there was recently a mace, and when that mace joined the others in the mace class, they let them know that, by the way, what you guys speak about in the mace class, I know from being alive that they speak about above, so you should be careful what you say. Okay. Interesting question to talk about the Beis Yosef. How is it possible that this chassid was able to be dorish lamesim? There's an issa deraisa to be dorish lamesim, to seek out what's going to be future propositions based on speaking to the mesim. How is that allowed? The Ein Yaakov asks this question. So he says this was really coming about because of through a chalom. It came through a dream, and that's not really the violation of dorish lamesim. And the Yireim says no. Dorish l'meisim is only when you're, again, I don't know how these things work, obviously, but it's only when you're being dorish to the body of the mace. When you're being dorish to the ruach of the mace, that's something that's permitted. Fine. So then the Gemara says... That was apparently some level. That's a violation of it, apparently.
But Marshall also uses the first explanation to explain why he would sleep Red Rosh Hashanah twice in the Beis Hamikdash.
What do you mean?
Well, the dream really wasn't.
Okay, because of the Cholam, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they talk about also, how come the first night Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin didn't happen yet? So nothing was decided yet. So the Gemara says this took place the second night Rosh Hashanah, where the first day everything was decided, so therefore the second night, they found that all the new information, all the gossip that's going to take place that upcoming year. Okay, the Gemara now says Vayitim. Tashma, they bring another raya of this discussion about whether or not the Mason know what's going on in this world. So Tashma, Dizir, have a mafkid zuze gave ushbezichta. So once this person had given some money to be watched by a certain host, ad asev also the beirav, and he went to Beit Medrash and shchiva, and he passed away. She passed away. So they didn't know where it was, right? So this guy came back, and the host has died. So they didn't know where to find the money that was being watched. Also basa lechatzim aves. So he walked to the cemetery to ask her and find out where it was. Amrlei zuzehecha, so he went directly to the base kvaros, to her kever. Where is my money? So Amrlei, she said, zil shaklini mutusei tinura, the dasher bedun parach. So go, I buried in some hole in the house, and you'll find it in there. So v'od emela le'ima, and he asked another question. Tishader li misarkia v'guftai de kuchlo v'hadei plansa diasa l'macher. So send also, so the requested this lady, said, could you please send me my comb, my brush, and this little makeup bag of some sort, and bring it to me, buried with me tomorrow. Okay? So we see Alma Yadeh. So even we see the mace is aware of what's going on in this world. And the Gemara says, Duma Kadem Machislu. Maybe there's the Malach named Duma, who's in charge of the mason, and he perhaps made this announcement, and was making this mace aware of what was going on. Okay, these are obviously conversations that are way beyond our understanding, but let's go back there anyways. Tashma, another mace. Avu de Shmuel hava kamachti gabe zuze diyasme. Avu de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, who was a great tzaddik, had once given some money to, that money reserved for the, he gave money, he was watching our money reserved for the Yisomim. So kinach nafshib, when he had died though, lahav Shmuel gabe. Shmuel wasn't there, and Shmuel didn't know where his father Avud the Shmuel was keeping the money that was protected for the atonement. So what happened was, so the atonement needed money. So they're asking Shmuel, no, where's the money? We need to get paid. We need to get some food. Habakkuk harle bar achil zuzidiyafin. They started claiming that Shmuel was eating the money, using the money of the atonement. But Shmuel just didn't know where the money was. He didn't know what to do. So also Abasi the Chatzim Aves, so Shmuel went to his father's kever, to Abu the Shmuel's kever, and Amar Lehu, and Shmuel says to his father, Ba'ina Abba, I ask of you Abba, where is the money? Amilei, Abba, Tuva Ika Hacha. So he first says, where's Abba? I need to find Abba. So he says, well, there are many Abbas here in the cemetery. So Amar Lehu, Ba'ina Abba, Ba'Abba. I want Abba, the son of Abba. Amilei, Abba, Ba'Abba, Nami Tuva Ika Hacha. Everyone's a father, the son of another father. You need to be clear. Amar Lehu, Ba'ina Abba, Ba'Abba, Abu the Shmuel. I need a father, the son of father, whose name is Abu Dushmur. Where is he? I need to speak to him. Heicha. So Amr Lai, they said, Salak l'mitzva d'rakia. So they brought him up to the Beis Medrash Shel Mala. That's where Shmuel went. And Adahachi, when he was there, waiting for his father, Abu Dushmur, Chazi l'levi, the Yasav Abra. He saw Levi was like sitting outside the Beis Medrash. So he says to him, Amalei, Shmuel says to Levi, am I Yasap da Abarai? Remember, Shmuel and Levi had a good relationship in the Gemara talks about. So he says to the Chaver Levi, who is now dead, he says, why are you sitting outside the base medrash, Levi? So my time is a little salkas. Why didn't he go inside and learn a little bit with the rest of the base medrash? So Amalei, Levi says to Shmuel, and Zamri, Lee, they said to me, Kol kianach shani de los lika le mitzifta de Rebbe Ephes. All the years where I avoided going to the base medrash of Rebbe Ephes, and he was very hurt by this. So, lo mailin lechal mitzifta de Rekia, I'm punished. I can't enter into the yeshiva shamala. Adahachi v'hachi asavua. So as Shmuel and Levi were talking, so his father, Avu the Shmuel, comes up. Chazi dehavi kabachi v'achis. So Shmuel sees his father first crying, and then he's laughing. Amalei, Shmuel asks his father, my time of kabachis, why are you crying? Amalei, delagel ka'asis, because your time is coming soon, you're going to be joining us here very soon, so I'm crying because your time is up. My time of achichta, why are you crying? Or why are you laughing? The chashivta by almatula, because you're very chash in this world. Shmuel, they hold you very highly up in this base magic shemal. So even though I'm sad you're leaving the world below, I'm very excited and they're very excited to have you here in the yeshiva shemal. So Amalei Shmuel says to him, I chashivna, if I'm so chash of here, I'm demanding nalu lelevi, that you allow Levi access and entry into the base magic, vailu lelevi, and they listen to Shmuel. So Levi was allowed entrance into the base magic. So Amalei, now Shmuel says to his father, back to why I came here. Zuzah diyasmi hecha. Where's the money of the Yisomim that you hid? I don't know where they are. I need to feed them. Amalei, so his father said, Zil shaklani ba'amasa derachia. They're below the area where the grinder was, the mill was. Ilayo v'tatai didan. So there's money. Now the top, it's like dug in the ground. The top money there is mine, ours, yours I guess now. The bottom is yours as well. They're ours. And mitzayah diyasmi, and the money that's in the middle, in the center, is the Yisomim. So he kind of preserved the money. Again, there was like three levels of money buried. The level one and level three were above the Shmuel's and now Shmuel's, and the level two was preserved for the Yisomim. So Amalei, my time of this hachi, why did you bury it like this, one, two, and three, and the Yisomim's money in the center? Amalei, so his father explained, above the Shmuel explained, Iganuva ganvei minigamididam. If they're going to steal, they'll steal the money on top. So they'll steal mine, they're not going to steal the Yisomim's money. The achli arif, the land's going to absorb some money, it's going to suck some of the money down. So achli midyan, didan, they'll take mine, that's on the bottom. This way, by me placing the money somewhere in the center, it will avoid the genavim, and it's going to avoid being absorbed by the land as well. Either way, we see from all of this, alma, the yodei, they know what's going on here. Why do they know what's going on? Because Avu the Shmuel knew that his son Shmuel, who's alive, was chashiv amongst the very chashiv. So they are aware, even the Meitah aware of what's going on. And the Gemara says, Duma Shiny Shmuel, and perhaps Shmuel is different, came in the chashiv Kadmi Machri. Since he's a chashiv, so they announced his arrival, Panu Machri, make room for the chashiv Shmuel. But had it not been for that announcement, there's no way Avu the Shmuel would know what was going on in the world below. And let's just finish the rest of the daf here. The Gemara says, Vafra Bionasan Hadabay, even if Yonasan himself retracted from what he initially had said that the Mason don't know what's going on, he says, no, they do know what's going on. Dam Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Am Rabbi Yonasan, Aminayin the Mason, Shemasaprin Zem. How do you know the dead talk amongst themselves? Shinemar says, Vayomer Hashem Elav, Hashem says to him, Zos Arat Hashinishbati, this is the ground, the land I promised, La'avim Lisa Yaakov, Lemor to say, My Lemor was mean to say, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Leich Amar Lehem La'avim Lisa Yaakov, go tell Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov, Shavua Shinishbati Lechem, the Shavua that I swore to them that their children will get it, Kvas Yamta, Lemnechem, I'm going to fulfill with your children. Now, Yitzhak Adaitach, the Gemara says, on the top of your test, and we'll finish three lines down now, and if you're going to say the Loyada, the Mason don't know what's going on, Kiyam Elohu my Havi. So what's the Torah telling them? If Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov don't know what's going on there, so by telling them what's going on, what's that going to do for them? They don't know what's going on either way. Elamai Biyade, Lamalei Lameim Elohu. Must be, they do know what's going on, and so why do they tell them to do something? So if they really are aware of what's going on amongst the Chayim, so why does Moshe have to say anything to them in the first place? The Gemara says, simply lachsukele tibusa lemoshe. So even though the Avos do know what's going on in this world, and all Mason know what's going on in the world, Moshe should still tell them, and this way the Avos will have a certain hakar satov to Moshe Beinu for making sure this carries through. Okay, we'll stop here, and have a wonderful day.